know I'm going to be on trial sometime next week.
As you should be, you scoundrel.
No, I shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't.
No, I shouldn't.
I have to agree with you. So, and for more information, is there a number people can call?
Yeah, you can call the voicemail of Free Radio at 427-4523 if you want to speak with me. Or you can also call the Coalition to Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, or which is also a contact point for the Santa Cruz Five, which is 425-4467. And I mean, this is a plea for people to please show up once we know Friday where the trial will be. I know it's happening next week, so just stay tuned to Free Radio to find out when my trial will be, and please show up to court and support.
It's a real bad day, you know, because everybody's going up to San Francisco for the Wear Black Against.
Right, well, I'm not worried about Friday, per se, but yeah. On Monday or Tuesday when the trial starts, I really would like some support in the courtroom.
And I hope you get it. I personally, of course, will be there taking pictures, or should we say...
No, you might be a potential witness, depending on what...
I'll probably be excluded again from the courtroom, as usual.
Maybe.
They don't like having me in those courtrooms. Well, thank you, Vinny, and
right.
Keep us advised of any further antics by Officer David Lefebvre.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You sit there handing down orders. You examine the terms of the deal. A car is always waiting. Other hands turn the wheel. The doors slide open before you. The doors slide shut behind. Other hands carry your luggage. Weighty young matters engage your mind. You take the gold out of the earth. You throw the corpses in. One crop is as good as another, as long as the cash keeps pouring in. The wheels must never stop turning, the machine must be obeyed. The future has got to be fueled, and at a price to be paid.
Black like the dust, brown like the earth, this is our land, the land of our birth. Silently digging, digging our graves, choking our bodies, choking our lives.
Living on scraps, dying in debt, digging in darkness so our children can eat. Once we were free, greeting the sun, sharing the earth, giving thanks to the corn. Sang with the waters, sang with the wind, dance with a drum, circle without end. Now we are silent, they have taken our tongues, they have taken our pride, they have taken our songs. Only our bodies, only our eyes, burn with a memory of the old ways.
Brown like the earth, black like the dust, who can we turn to, who can we trust?
You've got no patience with failure, you've got no time for delay. Certainty points to a future, straight lines carve out the way. You never make moral judgments, only one truth you defend. Money must be free to make money, that's all there is in the end. You take the diamonds out of the earth, you throw the corpses in. One crop is as good as another, as long as the cash keeps pouring in. The wheels must never stop turning, the machine must be obeyed. The future has got to be fueled, and there's a price to be paid.
Brown like the earth, black like the dust, who can we turn to, who can we trust? The gun is their god, they have taken our land. They take what we dig, they take without end.
We drown in the dust, we choke in the heat. Our skin grows sores, our lungs rot. Still we remember the cold clear air, waking at dawn with a morning star. Still we remember the sound of the flute, the feel of the grass under our feet. Death may come quickly, if the mine floods, if the rock talks, if the gas explodes. Mostly we linger on death's cold bed, flashing for air, coughing up blood.
Nobody cares, nobody sees, we make no headlines, dying by degrees.
A thousand shapes wait to attend, the ones who drive your cars, who reserve your place at the table, who order your daily cigars, who silently guard your privacy, who make sure your time's on you, who remind you of your appointments. You know that they all depend on you. You take the uranium out of the earth, you throw the corpses in. One crop is as good as another, as long as the cash keeps pouring in. The wheels must never stop turning, the machine must be obeyed. The future has got to be yours, and there's a price to be paid.
Nobody cares, nobody sees, we make no headlines, dying by degrees. What choice do we have? They have taken our home. We wait in silence, our time will come.
They tear from the earth, they leave nothing behind, only raw scars on a wasteland. Someday and soon, the mountains will shake, the drum will sound, the sun will turn black, and from out of the dust, and from under the earth, we will arise, proclaiming this truth. All life is sacred, all life is one, from the rocks on the mountains, to the children unborn, and the walls will topple, and the fences will fall, and the scars will be healed, and the earth will be whole.
This is our land, the land of our birth, black like the dust, brown like the earth.
You never carry money, you like your life ordered and clean. You make out checks to charity, no one can call you mean. Through your double-locked gateways, only the privileged pass. Admire your taste and elegance, marvels of marble and silver and glass. You take the earth out of the earth, you throw the corpses in. One crop is as good as another, as long as the cash keeps pouring in. The wheels must never stop turning, the machine must be obeyed. The future has got to be yours, and there's a price to be paid.
And that was Leon Russellson from his album Bringing the News from Nowhere, which I actually have heard played on this station before. The station is, of course, Free Radio Santa Cruz, the program, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. This is the October 21st edition this Thursday evening. Call-in number for those of you who want to join in any of the festivities is 427-3772. Tomorrow, there's going to be a hot time in the old court tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Department 6, Dennis Rehm, that's the homeless van dweller, it may be putting the silver bullet in the court's unconstitutional practice of issuing warrants for failure to pay. That is to say, if you are a homeless person, you agree to do community service and you can't do it, or you agree to pay a fine, then you can't do it or don't do it. The standard practice of our court system is to send out a failure to pay warrant by which police can arrest you. Well, that's unconstitutional because it's for an infraction offense. Infractions are not supposed to be arrestable. Does this mean that the homeless can just be scofflaws and not pay their fines? No, but the city attorney has to, in essence, take a civil action to get the money back, which means he has to sue them, which can be done as well if the city attorney really wants to go after homeless sleeping bags and toothbrushes. We'll see if this act actually comes through. It's called the Florey Edwards Jacobs Defense to the Sleeping Ban. I commend it to your attention. 10 a.m., Department 6, that's Danner's Court, tomorrow morning. Check it out. Then, of course, at noon, Loudon Nelson is going to be a caravan against police abuse up to San Francisco, where there will be protests. And at, of course, 1:30, you've heard Vinnie Lombardo talk about his reappearance on the master calendar in Department 4 if you're in Santa Cruz and you want to follow that. And then tomorrow night, I am tentatively planning to do some tabling against the sleeping ban, hoping that we can get some volunteers together to get protests going over the crucial Thanksgiving to Christmas month, when the merchants will be most amenable to pressure and persuasion around issues of right of homeless people to have shelter, not to be arrested for sleeping, not to be arrested for having a blanket, not to be fined for engaging in survival activities. So what I'm going to hope to do is hear from all you sleeping ban opponents at 423 HUFF. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom's number, 423-4833. And if you want to do some tabling, then we'll go down and do it. But I want to make sure that I'm not going to be out there alone in my bathrobe looking foolish on the streets. I don't mind looking foolish as long as I'm there with a few other people. So if you want to get involved in this, give me a call. We'll do some tabling from 7 to 11. Lots of crowds on the street. It can be fun. 423-4833. You might be able to get some hot soup out there going down. But I want to hear from you before I do it. A couple of stories coming up here. America's oldest bank robber, man 88, charged in a Florida heist. According to the October 19th Florida newspaper, from Pensacola, an unarmed 88-year-old man robbed a bank, only to be caught by customers as he tried to run away with the money, police said. J.L. Hunter Roundtree, a homeless man whose last listed address was a post office box in Bayou La Batre, Alabama, may be the oldest bank robbery suspect in the nation's history. An 82-year-old man was accused of robbing a Colorado bank in 1989. Roundtree is accused of walking into a national bank on Monday and giving a teller a note that said, "Robbery, give me the hundreds." Clarence Grandison, a customer, said he politely asked Roundtree to stop near the door after hearing someone in the bank say, "We've been robbed." But he said Roundtree, carrying a black bag, continued to walk out and then started running across the parking lot. Grandison gave chase, and his nephew, Eddie Foster, tackled Roundtree. They and another customer held him on the ground until police arrived. The amount of money Roundtree allegedly took was not disclosed. Well, got to catch those bank robbers, I must say, and I suppose we should all be grateful for those kinds of public-spirited activities. With me in the studio is Becky Johnson, who has just returned from a meeting of the Homeless Services Center, which is, of course, the group that oversees the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, the Community House Program, and the Homeless Communities Resource Center, which is where folks have lockers and they get the free meal down out there at River and Highway 1 or Coral Street. I'm particularly interested in what Becky has to say because you may recall in past shows I've talked about Jerry Henry and the harassment that has currently just escalated beyond belief against him for being a street minister to young people at the Rancho Del Mar Aptos Shopping Center. The merchants at Gottschalk's Rancho Liquors and apparently the coffee roasting company, as well as the sheriff's substation, some of the folks there really want him gone. I wrote this story about Henry for the California Homeless Civil Rights Update, which will be printed in next month's Street Sheet, the newspaper sold on the streets by homeless people in San Francisco. And I hope we have, do we have Mike? I guess we do. Hello, hello. I'm a little bit concerned that we're losing our mic level. If anybody out there can't hear me, let me know and I'll try to speak up. Street Minister Jerry Henry is again the target of a merchant sheriff social cleansing campaign at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos, just south of Santa Cruz. Henry defends and advises young and homeless people who hang out at the mall. After dropping bogus charges in August, merchants and police have escalated their war to banish Henry from the intentionally abusive to the breathtakingly absurd. On Columbus Day, October 11th, Henry was jailed for trespass to interfere with a business, 602.1, and held on $2,500 bail. 4 days after relatives posted this bail on this groundless charge, Henry was rearrested on the same charge with resisting arrest thrown in for good measure as he peacefully vigiled at the shopping center. This time, bail was set at $25,000. When his relatives and their bail bondsmen arrived at the jail, Judge Robert Yontz raised bail to $100,000 on two charges, which I remind you have a maximum penalty together of $2,000 and 2 years in jail. Henry has never been convicted of anything, is not accused of any violent crimes, and has never missed a court date. Yount's colleague, presiding Santa Cruz Judge Heather Morse, then colluded with complainant Claudia Esterby, a Gottschalk supervisor, apparently behind much of the vendetta against Henry, by refusing to hear in a timely manner a writ of habeas corpus filed to free Henry from under this outrageous bail. Finally, Morse threw it out for, quote, lack of jurisdiction. That is to say, she threw out the writ and she kept Henry in jail. Morse released her homeless advocate hostage only after he agreed to a banishment order from the Rancho Del Mar until the charges were heard at trial. This order, this banishment order, had been sought for years by Easterby, other merchants, and the police in half a dozen other bogus charges filed against Henry. What they could not get in a public trial, this cabal imposed behind closed doors with their huge bail requirement, $100,000 for a $2,000 charge, which forced Henry to agree to a temporary banishment order rather than spend the next 4 weeks before trial in jail. By the time Henry reached court the next Monday, anti-homeless district attorney Jim Jackson had cooked up a total of 11 misdemeanor charges against Henry, including resisting arrest, public nuisance, and trespass, all of which were designed to punish Henry for his high-profile, nonviolent advocacy on behalf of young people swept up in the merchant's new Young and Homeless Get Out program at Rancho Del Mar. Santa Cruz homeless activists may join Aptos Youth in their picket against Gottschalk, which apparently has been going on for several days, in a protest. So this was a flyer I wrote, actually a story I wrote, which I turned into a flyer, but I gave it to Becky because I heard she was going out to the Homeless Services Center Board of Directors, because guess who sits on that Board of Directors, and who does sit on that board, Becky?
Well, one of the members is Judge Bob Yonts. He's the head of the Governance Committee. And so he was there tonight as a member of the Board of Directors of the Homeless Services Center.
Mm-hmm. And you apparently, you didn't raise the issue at the meeting, I understand, which I would have loved you to do, about this outrageous $100,000 bail that he put on a man who essentially has committed no violent crimes, and the merchants just want to get rid of him. What did you do? You talked to him afterward?
Well, they had no oral communications period at the meeting, which was unfortunate. I would have been able to raise it before the entire board. As it was, I just passed out the copy of the article that's going to be in the next issue of Street Sheet, a homeless newspaper put out by the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco. That'll be, I guess, the November issue.
Did anybody read this at this board? I know how concerned they are about homeless people. They've been letting these assaults go on month after month, including their most distinguished member, Mayor Catherine Sleeping Band Byers, has been part of that board. But so anyway, did any of them read this particular thing?
Well, I was only able to pass it out to them as they were exiting, so no one actually got a chance to read it at that moment, nor did Judge Yonts, who I gave a copy to. And when I last saw him, he had one unread copy curled up in his hand.
Like crunched up or curled up?
Rolled up in a tube.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm,
to be read later, I hope.
So you pursued Judge Yonts in order to make sure that he had educated himself properly on this issue, right?
I asked him if he had, if I could ask him some questions about a case that he was recently involved with involving Jerry Henry, where he had posted $100,000 bail.
No, he set $100,000 bail, which nobody could post.
Oh, I see. Yeah, he set bail at $100,000. And I wanted to ask his reasoning for that. And he told me that he understood that there were six separate complainants, people complaining about Jerry. That's what I understood. And then he also said that he was out on OR for two other crimes, so that he thought that the $100,000 was correct, the correct amount.
Interestingly enough, of course, none of these charges, none of this, well, I don't know how many complainants were speaking, but he was not out on OR. He had been bailed out earlier on this earlier charge 4 days before, the same charge, essentially sitting on his car, talking to young people. He had earlier given a petition to the businesses involved, asking them to stop harassing him because they got a stay away order, so he couldn't go in and get coffee. He felt like he was being treated like a second-class citizen, a nonviolent man who has been disabled, apparently. He disabled in the sense that he is an SSI recipient on disability who is particularly sensitive to these kinds of pressure situations. When he's put into this kind of pressure by police, he can't sleep, he can't eat. And this apparently is a situation he's now in because of this arrest last Friday, actually two arrests, one on Monday and one on Friday.
Well, I asked Judge Jantz if he'd gotten his information by seeing a computer screen or whether he'd seen some paper documentation about Henry's case, and he told me that no, he had been called by telephone, that he'd been up on Skyline someplace and been contacted by telephone to get permission for this extremely high bail. And so I, you know, asked him if he found that some of the information that he'd been given, on which he was basing this excessive bail on, if he found out it was incorrect, what would he do about that? And he basically said that, he says, I have to trust the information my employees tell me.
Trust your local police and your local DA, apparently, is the watchword here. Well, let's talk to somebody maybe we can trust. Here's a homeless woman, Patches, previously a squeegee woman, thrown out of the New Leaf parking lot. They don't let her do that anymore. And also thrown out of Taco Bell for apparently taking more than 15 minutes to eat or taking more than 10 minutes to eat as a customer. Apparently they have unusual time requirements for homeless people. Let's hear an update from her. She's spoken about this issue to the Homeless Issues Task Force, which may prove to be as much of a force as it is a farce, to my chagrin. But here's Patches.
We're talking to Patches. It's October 10th, 1999. We're in the McWhorter's parking lot. I guess it's, I don't know what the hell it is, Sherman and Boone parking lot now. Hi, Patches.
Hi, Robert.
Patches, you said that you got a sty in your eye sliced by a doc and didn't do too well without an anesthetic.
No anesthetic involved, just went in and sliced it. And so I went through a little suffering with that. Wasn't real impressed about the way his bedside manner was. And MLM doctors, I'm really, really disappointed that Dr. Wong isn't there anymore, because she really paid attention to us. So I had two nurses out of the healthcare center at River Street come and find me and let me know I have pneumonia. Now this is a week later, after they had run the test.
You said you already knew you had pneumonia?
I already knew I had pneumonia.
How did you know?
Because I was throwing out so much phlegm and I couldn't breathe. And so when I went into Emmeline, they ran the tests and did my kidney, my, you know, all the tests they could run. And a week later, they come and run and track me down and tell me I have pneumonia, and then told me to hold on.
Hold on. They didn't offer you a warm place to stay?
Not a warm place.
Didn't offer you an antibiotic?
No antibiotic.
Didn't offer you an appointment with a doctor until a week and a half later?
Which would be a week and a half from this coming Monday, and I have pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank goodness for the hot weather.
Thank goodness for that, and thank goodness that I found a safe camping place, but we're paying for that up in Boulder Creek, because there's no safe camping place around Santa Cruz anywhere, unless you pay, and you can't pay for it around here anyway. But if you're out on the street and you're sleeping on concrete, you're going to get sick in this weather. And that's what happened. And it escalated and escalated, and it got to the point that I thought that it was touch and go yesterday, that I was going to have to do a 911, and it scared me. It scared me. I didn't know what to do.
Have you been 911 a couple times recently?
When I had the seizure and the heart attack in the parking lot of New Leaf a month and a half ago. And they did real well with me on that, but then just cut me loose and told me, you know, deal with it. So that's basically where it's at. But how can the hospital come and tell you you have pneumonia and then just let you be on the street and not give you any help or any medical advice of what to do and make a doctor's appointment for you at Emmeline a week and a half later and you have pneumonia? I don't understand.
Now, is this the only element, or you were looking for a particular doctor?
Yes, I was. I was looking for Dr. Young. And he doesn't do urgent care. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does urgent care, but it's on whatever date in Dayton. And
so would they have given you a sooner appointment if you said, get me to any doctor?
Yes, they would have done that.
So why don't you do that since you've got pneumonia?
I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's, well, Tuesday, because tomorrow's a holiday. And I'm going to have to. You know, but there's just certain doctors up there that don't pay attention. You know, I'm 50 years old. It's not like I don't know what's happening with my body. And I tried to explain to him that day that I felt like I was dying, that I couldn't breathe, which I couldn't. I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for air. And they told me, we'll come back. Nothing's wrong with you. And then a week later, they come and have them track me down and tell me I have pneumonia. Well, hello, you know, I knew that.
But at least you don't have dysentery from eating at Taco Bell. I heard that Taco Bell has evicted you for sitting over 15 minutes, even though you were a customer.
Yes, we were eating. I wasn't even finished eating. And my husband and I were sitting there eating, and it was over a 15-minute limit, so they told us that we couldn't come back. We're 86th out of there, and I asked the people there, the manager there, well, are you going to do that to your tourist customers? And he had no reply to that.
What was the name of the manager?
Greg.
And when was this?
2.5 weeks ago.
And were you drunk, abusive,
no.
or in any other way
not at all.
About to have a seizure on the floor?
No, not at all. In fact, I clean up the place. You know, the birds eat the food. I clean up the trays. I clean up any trash around there. All that. I've never been, in fact, I've been overly, probably kind. And I'm finding that, you know, people don't appreciate that.
Did he say any reason why you were being...
No, we were just over 15 minutes. Couldn't sit there over 15 minutes. And that's why I said, I asked him, well, if your tourist was sitting here over 15 minutes eating, because I wasn't finished eating. And he didn't have any reply to it.
Have you heard of anybody else being evicted for this reason?
Yeah, the people that they know that are out here, that are homeless, they will do that too.
And you know of anyone specifically?
Yeah, I do, but I'd rather not go.
How many people would you estimate this has happened to that you know of?
3 or 4.
And are these people unusually, are they eccentric or violent in their habits? Or?
No, in fact, they're older people. We aren't even talking about youngsters that are hanging around and all that. I mean, we've been going there for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, drinking coffee. You drink your coffee or whatever, and it's never happened before. And it's just this one specific person, Greg. That's
happened. Did you file a complaint with the owner or manager?
No, in fact, I have his name in my backpack. It's Robin something, and I've thought about doing that, but if I do that, then I have repercussions coming from that. If I push things too far, I have to watch my repercussions from those people wanting to go ahead and push the issue.
Well, maybe there'd be a good repercussion, particularly if you had an attorney do it for you.
I would be more than willing.
Really? Well, I'll talk to this guy who used to be good with civil rights issues and see if he's up for a return appearance. Anything more you want to add, Patches?
I noticed, though, that since I've got on the air a couple times, that the police officers around here have been... there's been 2 police officers that were harassing me that have got all the way up off of me and are more than kind, which makes me very leery.
So your new fame is bringing you tolerance, eh?
And that was Patches talking about the perils of fame on the radio and apparently the perils of being a homeless person at Taco Bell. On the line with us now is a man with a cross to bear, Reverend John Phillips. Hi, John.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for letting me on.
Sure. I saw you downtown today hauling around a cross on wheels. What is this? Is Easter coming early?
Now, what I'm doing, it's called the Rainbow Crosswalk, and I'm going to be carrying a 12-by-6-foot redwood cross with a large rainbow diversity flag flying from the upper raised cross beam from Santa Cruz to San Francisco. And the purpose is to just let everybody know that hate is not a Christian virtue or value. and that Jesus Christ loves everyone, no matter where you fit under the rainbow.
Well, I know that the media were taking pictures of you. Did any of that show up on TV? Or?
Yeah, the interview was on Channel 46. It'll be on again at 10 and 11. We talked a little bit about the homeless problem in Santa Cruz. That was all cut out, unfortunately.
Great.
It's a pretty brief presentation of what I'm doing, but it didn't really cover it. You know, fair amounts were taken out, but that always happens.
And you're planning to walk up to San Francisco with this cross?
Yeah, I'm going to be leaving Santa Cruz on November 20th at Grant Street Park, which is near Ocean and One up there, and walking from there to through the East Bay up to San Francisco. And I'll be speaking at about 5 churches along the way, and just trying to share the good news that Jesus loves everybody.
I think that a little love is a good thing. A little justice would be an even better thing, or at least
that's
as good a thing.
If you have love, I think you sort of automatically have justice. It's hard to love somebody and still kick them out of Taco Bell for taking more than 15 minutes to eat their dinner.
Yeah, actually, love is probably better than justice, but if you can't get love, at least we want to get justice.
Absolutely.
As we used to say to the Southern segregationists, you don't have to love them, just serve them food, man.
Right.
I mean, treat them like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you also mentioned you had some concerns about a recent murder?
Yeah, last night up in San Francisco, up in Sacramento, Reverend Ed Sheriff with the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches was murdered. He has been a very active member of the UFMCC, which is a predominantly gay and lesbian, bi and trans denomination, for quite some time. The information I've gotten so far was a little bit sketchy, but apparently some people broke into his house and stabbed him in the chest and killed him for being gay.
Wow.
So we were just downtown at the clock tower having a little vigil and trying to, you know, let people as they go by know about it. Yeah, the increase in hate crimes, whether you're talking hate crimes to homeless, hate crimes to gays and lesbians, hate crimes to Jewish people, I mean, across the board, it's just, times are getting scary. There's more and more hatred going on.
Well, yeah, that's actually, I guess, we have also in the studio with us Becky Johnson, who attended the Homeless Services Center Board of Directors meeting, which had, you know, such notables as Judge $100,000 Bail Yance, who delights in locking up homeless activists, and Mayor Sleeping Van Byers, who gives them $54 tickets for falling asleep at night in Santa Cruz, and, of course, Sergeant Lauren Baker, who I guess he complained that he spent 157 hours trying to track down 175 hours to track down a shooting. Becky didn't quite finish her report. Maybe she can kind of talk a little bit about that. Can you hear us on there?
I can hear you.
Why don't I put her on the phone to do a little conversation with you?
Sure.
She can kind of give you how hate crimes are being dealt with in Santa Cruz, at least according to the Homeless Services Center, you know, which is being paid to provide services to homeless people.
Hey, Reverend John.
Hi, Becky. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
I was at this meeting, and we did have some of the notables that Robert mentioned, as well as more that weren't mentioned. But Ken Cole, who's the executive director of the Homeless Services Center, did bring up the issue of what we call troll busting, assaults on homeless people. And that have been seem to be on the upswing since last January, and so Sergeant Lauren Baker gave a report. He said that he'd spent 175 hours researching a shooting that may or may not have happened, trying to find the alleged person who was there, and hearing different reports, and finally he concluded that there really had been no shooting, and that, or that if there had been, it had been, happened years ago. Sounded kind of useless. He did report that one of the men who had been arrested previously in an incident on Chestnut Street, which made the papers, where some people in a car were taunted, and they were people of color. And that one of these people, I guess the city had dropped charges on them, or maybe the DA dropped the charges. Well, that this one man had been rearrested, and Baker reported that he was concerned that the DA did not mark it as a hate crime. He thought that it should have been classified as a hate crime, but the so far there have been none of these assaults have, or any of the arrests that have occurred, and there have been very few arrests, only four that I know of. One has resulted in a conviction for assault, which is the lowest level of crime. Also, again, not with the hate crime designation. But none of these have been charged as hate crimes, or, you know, classified as hate crimes.
It's really difficult. I had a man at the vigil we did at 6 to 7 at the clock tower who was trying to convince me that Matthew Shepard was not a matter of hate crime. And it's like...
I think there's a lot of denial going on, and local denial. People don't want to believe that it's happening here in our community. And especially in Santa Cruz, it's difficult because we consider ourselves so liberal and progressive and here. And it's just kind of hard to face that there is much of that goes on, or the biggest blackout we find are hate crimes against the homeless. They just somehow don't seem to make the papers, or the police don't seem as concerned about seeking out and arresting those individuals. The DA seems uninclined to prosecute.
Unfortunately, that's very true. Very true. It's the people who are the social outcasts and throwaways, you know, in quotes, society just seems to ignore. As the follower of a homeless Jewish carpenter, I personally take major offense to that.
Yeah, it does seem like all categories. Of course, we've always found that youth have been discriminated against in throughout history, I would guess. Santa Cruz is certainly not different in that way. I'm referring to how the youth are treated by people in authority, say merchants or the police. There seems to be a suspicion of youth as just any kind of a suspect class.
Very true. Very true.
So what kind of comments did you have today when you were carting your cross?
A lot of really great comments, a lot of support. You know, you always have a few people who want to tell you that, you know, that you're an abomination to God or some such nonsense. But for the most part, it's been very positive as we've been walking along. Had an interesting experience with a group of skinheads. There were probably about 15 skinheads who were sort of blocking the sidewalk, and they were expecting me to go around, but I just sort of kept going into the middle of them, and then they sort of blocked the cross. And one of them pointed at the rainbow flag and made some kind of derogatory comment. And I just asked him, I said, well, you know, do you think society likes skinheads? And he said, well, no. And I said, does society like gay people? And he said, no. And I said, well, aren't you glad God loves skinheads and gay people? And he was sort of floored. I'm really totally with you guys with the homeless issues and with all these issues. And to me, the fundamental issue of all of it is that we need love. And we don't have it as a society. Like Robert was saying earlier, if you can't have love, at least have justice. But
if we loved our homeless people, we would be caring for them better.
Absolutely. Think about, you know, if your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister were homeless, and you were a caring person, and you had the wealth of a city behind you, what would you do? Would you not only just let them be out in the cold and you know, shivering and stuff? But even more than that, would you then go and steal their blankets, or, you know, beat them up in the bushes, and then if they try and say something like this isn't right, then you're going to arrest them, or you're going to give them these outrageous fines. You know, I think we've lost some really critical key values. Yeah, and that's love and justice.
Well, Reverend John, thanks for calling in and giving us this update.
Actually, I would like to add that if people out there feel like they're not welcome in churches, they're welcome at our church. We meet at Loud Nelson Center at 6:30 in the evening on Saturday evenings, and everybody is welcome there.
All right, thank you.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, And this is, last 15 minutes of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. A couple of articles I want to read you, and actually I had a lot of tape I wanted to play, but the time just zips away. Of course, Becky had some other things she uncovered at the Homeless Services Center, like no action at all on troll busting, no proposals for a safe zone, no proposals to end the sleeping ban, no proposals even for increased shelter. Shouldn't be a surprise to those of us who are watching the situation, but it should to those who have reasonable expectations about what this Homeless Services Center should do. I'm going to move on to the next thing, unless Becky has something she wants to add. Anything that, did you pretty much cover it, Becky?
I did discover one thing that didn't have to do with the Homeless Services Center. It had to do with the Board of Supervisors and their lack of having what's called a housing element as part of their general plan. And one of the things that came out of this hearing is that the county, by not having this housing element, may have lost as much as $10 million in the last 4 years of state funding that could have gone to build affordable housing. And remarkably, the Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 not add a housing element at this time. That means it'll postpone it for another 2 years of lacking funding that Santa Cruz County could be getting if we had chosen a different course.
That's housing for the rich, of course, and not for the rest of us. There was an interesting discussion at the City Council on Tuesday night, but I'm not going to be able to get into that now. Hopefully we'll have Scott Graham or possibly some other worthy talking about that, as it looks like they're pushing forward with Dolphin Lee in the Beach Flats, although they're not being too candid about it, and we'll talk more about that. That's the program that would evict several hundred Hispanics, actually people who were supporters of the new City Council and opponents of last year's Canfield boondoggle, the Beach Boardwalk boondoggle that was going to Third Street realignment and so forth. Interesting article on the internet, Cities Take Hard Line on Homeless, by Blair Anthony Robertson and Matthew Barrows from Sacramento. I'll read a little bit of that for you until I run out of time here. Sacramento's hardcore homeless, for years a fixture on city streets, are being corralled into another kind of temporary housing with 3 square meals a day, county jail. After a decade of putting money into shelters and outreach programs, Sacramento has signed on a nationwide trend that has seen cities replace welcome mats with laws aimed at reclaiming urban centers for businesses, shoppers, and tourists. They're trying to push us further and further away from the general public because we're not good for business, said Sharon Pusetti, 47, who sleeps at a makeshift encampment in the woods along the American River. No argument there. From Sacramento to New York and Marysville to Miami, the newer, harsher approach is cracking down on everything from sleeping in parks to body odor in public libraries. Critics insist it is merely an attempt to force the homeless out of town altogether. I've been arrested 5 times, said Bill McManus, 45, who has been homeless in Sacramento for most of the last 7 years. He says he's received more than a dozen tickets for illegal camping and wound up in jail when the unpaid citations turned into warrants. Exactly, of course, what's happening in Santa Cruz. Sleeping ban buyers notwithstanding. Authorities say homeless like McManus are precisely their targets, stubborn and persistent people seemingly unwilling to accept help or help themselves. Of course, this whole article is full of a really clear anti-homeless bias, which also distorts the facts about the services that are actually available in Sacramento, about which we could do another show on. But let's read on, because it's of interest anyway. In a clear sign that they have lost patience, or that they're succumbing to merchant pressure, is how I would put it, local governments nationwide have teamed with business partnerships and law enforcement agencies to transform the way they deal with vagrants. Actually, it's the same old story, only more of the same old story. Revamped benches with armrests in the middle that encourage sitting, not sleeping, have been installed. And of course, if you look up and down the Santa Cruz Mall, you'll see these little pieces of green metal railing on top of the square cement boxes that people used to sit on. Now they can't. Thank you, Neil Coonerty and Jim Lang and the City Council, for making these anti-homeless pieces of architecture.
In many towns, benches have been removed altogether. In Santa Cruz, they remove benches from around the Cat and Canary, and if you look up and down the mall, you don't see too many benches, much less than there were 5 years ago. Iron fences with passcodes have been erected around once-overrun parks. Again, parks that are used in desperation are called overrun. This is what we call newspeak. It's a kind of a sinister new terminology that strikes me as being kind of fascistic, that is to say, concerned with justifying police state measures against poor people, which is, of course, what the Nazis did. Their first targets were beggars and what they called surplus mouths. Again, continuing this story from the Sacramento Bee, social service workers offer one-way bus tickets to transport vagrants to a relative's home. Iron fences with passcodes have been erected around once-overrun parks, including Sacramento's renovated Muir Park at 16th and C Streets. Marysville installed parking-type meters that allow pedestrians to deposit coins for charity rather than deal with beggars, that is to say, to hand them money. Sacramento and several other cities throughout the country are following suit. Dozens of cities have outlawed aggressive panhandling. Marysville, among other towns, passed laws prohibiting shopping carts on the street and, quote, dumpster diving. That's the subject that came up at the Homeless Issues Task Force recently. The question of whether, how can we look ourselves in the mirror when our city is arresting homeless people for engaging in recycling activities? That's what they're doing, scavenging tickets. Even if you want homeless people to get your scavenging, your cans, your bottles, your plastic, your cardboard, even if you tell them, go get it, if they take it out of those blue containers, that's criminal behavior. A woman named Verna talked about that issue at the last Homeless Issues Task Force meeting, which is every second Monday for those who are interested. If you're interested in that, by the way, give a call to 423-HUFF, and I'll give you more information about that. Continuing this article, on Friday, San Francisco police announced they would begin seizing shopping carts held by the homeless and dumping the contents into plastic bags. What this article doesn't say is that protests from homeless people, from ordinary people, and from the community generally forced Mayor Brown to completely abandon this ridiculous idea. This is really kind of a form of criminalizing people for using shopping carts that are in essence abandoned. It's not like they're running in and stealing shopping carts, and they're using shopping carts to very good purpose. Survival for themselves, and in many cases, recycling. But you wouldn't know that by reading this article. Grocery stores are investing in radio-activated wheel locks on shopping carts to curb theft. They already employ companies that recover carts, which cost up to $150 each, and are the storage bins of choice for the homeless. Urban liquor stores keep black books and refuse to sell to drunk wagon repeats. But do they also refuse to sell to alcoholics who have a nice little room where they can destroy their liver? Probably not. In city after city, police have been given new marching orders to enforce once-overlooked laws that address vagrancy. It's not that they're overlooked. They were declared unconstitutional. When that doesn't work, new laws are passed. The most common new laws address panhandling, camping, and loitering. Morristown, New Jersey, and Iowa City, Iowa, among others, cracked down on smelly patrons in libraries. Did they put in showers, I ask? I don't know. Smelly patrons in libraries. Years of programs designed to get the homeless off the streets, officials say, have failed. In 10 years, Sacramento County's spending on homeless programs increased from $1.6 million a year to $14 million. What's not mentioned, of course, is how much has the homeless population in Sacramento increased? The discouraging result, more homeless are on the streets, and shelters have regular vacancies. What's more, other towns bus their homeless to Sacramento to take advantage of the services. I think people are exhausted by it. They are really tired by the constancy of it, said Sacramento Councilwoman Heather Fargo, who concedes her own attitude toward the homeless has changed with time. While many applaud the efforts, homeless advocates say authorities are going to extremes, coming down hard on those who have hit rock bottom, not only shooing homeless away from storefronts, but trekking deep into the woods to close illegal camps. In some cases, critics say, This approach criminalizes homelessness. It's the most god-awful waste of money using jail as a substitute for modest housing, said Leroy Chatfield, executive director of Loaves and Fishes, a nonprofit homeless advocacy agency. In recent weeks, authorities have conducted sweeps in Sacramento along the American River Parkway, where hundreds of homeless like Puccetti make camp. but they're not giving warnings or citations any longer. That policy has changed, said Kara Weston, an executive lieutenant with the Sacramento Police Department. We're now at the point where we are arresting people for camping. We're hoping that taking them to jail is going to push them to get housing. These are brilliant minds in operation. The approach was approved by the 33-member Sacramento County and City's Board on Homelessness, which includes law enforcement, community and business leaders, and homeless advocates. While some homeless say the new policy is frightening and mean, others admit it has inspired them to find a stable home. Well, of course, you remember Robert Steffens' approach to getting a stable home when he couldn't get into the ISSP program was, of course, to get arrested on the porch of the Homeless Services Center and get 90 days lodging in jail here in Santa Cruz. The sweeps are the fourth phase in an approach that began by surveying the homeless population and offering solutions, including one-way bus tickets. It's really hard for me to deal with this, and I may not have to any longer because it looks like Uncle Dennis and his guest, or possibly his co-host, have arrived. In the heavily wooded area near the river, a web of trails leads to dozens of camps. About five people at each encampment divide duties. Some collect water, others get cigarettes, food, or money. A recent visit found the trail overrun with litter, from used toilet paper to food wrappers, old clothes, even tires, all within a short hike of Camp Pollock, the Boy Scout facility. This is what we call kind of terroristic propaganda against homeless people, and I will be giving you more of this exciting stuff next show, which is going to be Sunday from 11 to 1:30 for those of you who've had the stomach to listen to this. A couple of quick announcements. Saturday, the Land Trust is having a second meeting at 2 p.m. at the Loud Nelson Center. Then from 9 to midnight, tune in to Free Radio Santa Cruz to hear John Malkin interviewing a nonviolence expert. John has infinite patience, and I'm glad he does. I'm also going to be covering, my producer points out to me, October 22nd, in case you've forgotten, is Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation Day. If you can get all that out, you wear black. That's the key. Wear black and talk back. And if you see police abuse, stop and say, no, no, it's not nice. Stop that right now. And bring a crowd over to agree with you and to challenge that kind of misconduct. We're going to go out on a favorite of mine from Peter, Paul, and Mary from the mid-80s. No Easy Walk to Freedom. I remind you, if you want to do any tabling to against the sleeping ban, if you want that tabling to even happen, give me a call at 423-4833 for a 7 to 11 o'clock extravaganza tomorrow night. Let's see who wants to do it. Maybe we'll get out there and continue this process of making the city own up to its responsibilities and preparing for massive protests from November through December. This has been Bathrop Spears Broadsides here at 96.3 FM. Coming up is Uncle Dennis with the infamous and much beloved Earth First.
Yeah.